It's time for Over There with Mirella Rostroffer. Mirella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. Rumor has it, but, you know, it's very hard to get these things double-sourced, that she is over here. But we shall see if that is true. Hello, Mirella.
Hello, Jill. Good morning. Yes, this is still true for a couple of weeks. But, of course, I have a few topics for us today. Regarding Europe and a few headlines that I thought would be of interest. The first one regards Hungary. We have been talking about the Prime Minister a couple of times already in our conversations because of his very strong right-wing positions in Europe, bringing sometimes one can call it frictions between the countries in among the European Union members. So last Sunday he won again. It was a very clear victory. This is going to be his third term with his party Fidesz, who will also have the necessary majority at the parliament to actually be able to lead the country according their ideas and opinions. It's worth mentioning that as previously, he basically used the anti-immigration feelings to get many votes. His nationalistic feelings, like defend ourselves, defend Hungary. Let's not forget that Hungary was also the country who had built some fences at the time where Chancellor Angela Merkel welcomed immigrants in Europe. Orbán did build fences that were heavily criticized, for which he was also legally attacked, but nevertheless, this in some ways increased his popularity. So it was really bad for the other parties. The Jobbik party, which is also very nationalistic, reached 20%. The Socialist party reached about 12%. And the Green Party 7%. So one can see that his victory was by all means a very clear one. Both leaders from the two other main parties resigned as they felt that they didn't lead their parties to anything close to victory. What is also interesting from the marketing point of view is that during his entire campaign, he stayed very far from the media, giving very few interviews, basically being pushing away the media and using more the tactic of rallies and direct contacts with the population. So I think this is a marketing strategy that is showing some real success, not only in Hungary, but also in other countries. There is this mistrust in the media world. There is also mistrust in the internet world, where it's very difficult by now to make the difference between what's real and unreal, what's true and untrue. So very often people have this feeling that by having someone talking directly to them, they at least have a primary source there. And if one likes it or doesn't like it, this is definitely another aspect of the question. But at least there is no question that what you hear is what the person thinks and what the person wants to convey. So I thought that was an interesting aspect of maybe the new way of leading a political campaign. So that would be for Hungary. Then there is a subject that really attracted my attention, because I tended maybe also to myself to idealize the world of the Nobel Prizes. I don't know if this is something that is very well known, because it made some news, but of course not the headlines. The Nobel Prize for Literature, the Academy, is definitely in very big trouble. And the reasons are frankly really surprising. As you know, the Literature Nobel Prize Academy Committee has 18 members. These members are there for life. It means that under the current the current laws of their academy, it cannot only death can replace someone, basically, and otherwise members are voted for life. So where is the problem? The problem is linked with the poet Katharina Frostenson, who is married to a photographer called Jean-Claude Arnault. It seems that Jean-Claude Arnault was leading a literature club that was getting some funding from the academy, and was also in a way publicized as many writers, poets, and artists of different fields were performing in that club. Jean-Claude Arnault has been accused from 18 women. If the figures are correct, it's a coincidence that the Academy has technically 18 members and 18 women accused Jean-Claude Arnault of sexual harassment. This adds to the fact that it has been discovered that he was aware in advance of the names of the candidate for awards, and that he had leaked those names in the past. So this put this entire academy in a little bit of a problem, because of ethical grounds, of course. That led to three members resigning. And when I say resigning, it's a little bit of a special case. While they resigned, they can't really get out of it, because, as I said, only death can do that, which means also that they cannot be replaced. And if too many people leave, it's also a problem for the majority, because decision cannot be made the same way anymore, because of a lack of active members. So this Academy for Nobel Prizes has a real reputation. I mean, one has to think that it had been founded by King Gustav III of Sweden in 1786, and the prizes have been awarded since 1901. So this is definitely, in the world of culture, in the world of literature, a real pillar and something that was until now taken very seriously. So one of the members said something that I'm going to quote because I thought it's basically the bottom line of the entire issue. That is the writer Espmark. He said, "Integrity is the lifeblood of the Swedish Academy. When leading voices in the Academy put friendship and other irrelevant considerations before this integrity, then I can no longer participate in the work." I think this is exactly how I'm going to end our conversation today. When there is a lack of trust, when there is a lack of integrity, any kind of institution is then put into question. And it is definitely a pity that such an important one, a cultural one, that is supposed to be somehow, maybe in an utopic way, above the regular issues, it puts us from outside in a very unlucky position, one of hoping at least that the problems are going to be solved and that the Academy will be able to continue its good work.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostorfer, over there.
My pleasure.